It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News Team. Now, here's what's happening.
Ian's Aftermath. Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast.
This is absolutely by far the worst storm I have ever seen.
Angry Ian on the move and still doing damage after slamming into Florida yesterday as one of the top five hurricanes to ever strike the Sunshine State.
What used to be streets have now turned to rivers, turned to oceans.
The sheriff of Lee County telling Fox News today there could be hundreds dead.
While I don't have confirmed numbers, I definitely know the fatality are in the hundreds. There are thousands of people that are waiting to be rescued, and we can't access people. That's the problem.
Governor Ron DeSantis.
I think it's too soon to put any type of numbers on that, and those numbers, you know, certainly have not been confirmed at this point. And it's my hope that some of those folks are going to be able to be rescued today if they haven't already.
Fort Myers Mayor Kevin Anderson says he's never seen anything like this.
It is pretty bad. I came here in the mid-70s. I was on the police department for almost 25 years, saw a lot of storms here. This is by far the worst storm I have ever witnessed.
Power is out to millions. Rescue crews plucking people from rooftops. Robert Ray with Fox Weather.
Fort Myers just took it on the chin, down trees, power lines, all over the place. So the devastation and the power of Ian, just remarkable, historic storm here in the state of Florida.
Ian's storm surge swallowed up entire communities, cities that are hundreds of miles from where the storm made landfall are setting rainfall records. Florida Congressman Michael McCall.
It's a 1-2 punch. The flooding rivers, the storm pushing all of that water from south to north, and then like a big right hook, the wind swinging around counterclockwise and then pounding from the east as well.
Congresswoman Kat Kamick says while the wind is wicked, the rain is relentless, and that's what's concerning her the most.
Our area is completely saturated, so there's really nowhere for this water to go, and we're about to take on about 24 inches of rain in a 24-hour period.
Cities like Orlando and Jacksonville in the bullseye today. Correspondent Christian Benavides standing by at Disney World.
Significant to catastrophic flooding is expected to develop in areas throughout the day, like here in Orlando.
The storm could reform into a hurricane before slamming into Georgia and the Carolinas. Georgia Governor Brian Kemp.
I would urge Georgia citizens to be overprepared, and hopefully this storm underdelivers.
Ian exits Florida today and will meander through the Carolinas and Virginia before eventually petering out in Appalachia late this weekend. All those areas could see record rain from this storm. Other news today, Russia's making good on plans to expand its reach in Eastern Europe.
The Kremlin says four Russian-controlled regions of Ukraine will be annexed tomorrow. This comes after referendums that the Kyiv government and the West branded a sham. Finland said today it will ban most Russian tourists from entering the country starting tomorrow.
Correspondent Steve Kaffin, the U.S. State Department warning Americans in Russia to get out of there now. The embassy in Moscow says Russia may prevent Americans from leaving that country soon and could conscript dual citizens into military service. Vice President Kamala Harris made a surprise trip to the demilitarized zone today. That's the area of no man's land that separates North and South Korea. She thanked the U.S. troops stationed there. Yesterday, the communist North test-fired two short-range ballistic missiles. And the wait is over for Yankee slugger Aaron Judge. He finally got his history-tying home run.
And the 3-2. Joe deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. Chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Yankees announcer Michael Kay with the call last night. Still to come on the Noon Report, the crime sign in Braddock. Who's helping Woodhull? And Zeldin says it's closer than you think.
Well, very good afternoon to all. We're still looking at some very cool air across the region today, and that cool air lingers for a while. I'll have the numbers and the complete forecast coming up in 10 minutes.
Okay, Kevin Williams, we will look forward to that. The Twin Tiers under a frost advisory tonight. It's been a while since we've said that. The National Weather Service in Binghamton says temperatures could dip to near freezing. That frost advisory in effect from 1 a.m. until 9 a.m. Friday morning. Western New Yorkers are stepping up to the plate to help out Floridians in the aftermath of Ian. Family Life's Dee Haley.
Hundreds of trained Red Cross disaster volunteers are on the ground across the state of Florida, along with critical disaster relief supplies. Meanwhile, Western New York volunteers are on standby to fly to Florida to provide relief in the aftermath of the storm. The hurricane made landfall just after 3 o'clock yesterday, with sustained winds of around 150 miles per hour. 8 Days of Hope, a national natural disaster relief organization with headquarters in Buffalo, will also be heading to Florida with supplies and trailers equipped with restrooms and hot showers. While there isn't much the volunteers can do until the storm passes through, both organizations are prepared to help. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Dee. New York State Senator Tom O'Meara and Assemblyman Phil Palmisano are holding a news conference today in Woodhull, New York. The GOP lawmakers are critical of the governor for her response to Tropical Storm Fred, which ravaged the region last year.
We're a year into the recovery process, and still many residents still are struggling with trying to find funding to be able to repair and successfully get back into their homes.
Tim Marshall's the director of emergency services for Steuben County.
That area was one of the worst flooding events that I've seen in my 25 years here with Steuben County, and the residents should not have to suffer like this.
He's calling on the governor to provide further financial assistance to homeowners and businesses in Woodhull, Jasper, Troopsburg, and Greenwood. Those towns in Steuben County suffered more than $20 million in damage from flash flooding last August. Recent polls show Republicans in trouble this election year in both New York and Pennsylvania, but can you trust the polls and what they tell us? Jason McGuire with New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom.
You know, I'm having a tough time trusting the polls over the last number of years now. Some of that, I think, is the built-in inherent bias. There is media and many of the academic institutions that produce the polls, I think, do have a built-in bias.
McGuire says many people are afraid to tell pollsters what they really believe in the current cancel culture climate. Lee Zeldin says he doesn't believe the Siena poll that shows him down 17 points to Governor Hochul. Zeldin claims his own internal polling shows him trailing by 6 points and within striking distance of pulling off the upset.
We won't have as much money as Kathy Hochul does, but as long as we're sitting here talking about the issues that matter most to New Yorkers and our solutions to fix it, it's all good, and we're going to win this race on November 8th.
Zeldin points out that back in 1994, the pollsters had Mario Cuomo beating George Pataki, and they were wrong about that. Pennsylvania U.S. Senate candidate Dr. Mehmet Oz has put up a billboard in his rival John Fetterman's hometown of Braddock and calls out the former mayor for allegedly being soft on crime. Reporter Ken Rice with KDKA.
Right next to the Welcome to Braddock sign, there's now this billboard paid for by Oz. It shows toilet paper with the quote, soft on skin, soft on bottoms, and a picture of Fetterman saying soft on crime.
Dr. Oz says Fetterman's policies have let criminals run rampant at a time when Pennsylvania is experiencing an epidemic of crime. John McTesby heads up the Pennsylvania Police Union, which has endorsed Oz.
Dr. Oz will make sure our police officers have the resources they need to protect themselves and to keep the community safe. He will stand with the men and women in law enforcement against these daily threats that they face from criminals and progressive prosecutors.
John Fetterman getting some support from law enforcement as well. Montgomery County Sheriff Sean Kilkenny appearing in a new Fetterman commercial.
I'm sick of Oz talking about John Fetterman and crime. Here's the truth. John gave a second chance to those who deserved it. Nonviolent offenders, marijuana users. He voted with law enforcement experts. Nearly 90% 90% of the time.
More than 2,500 Pennsylvanians with marijuana convictions have applied for pardons under a new program endorsed by John Fetterman. More than 900 would-be pot shop operators have applied for a chance to open New York's first marijuana dispensaries. The state plans to issue about 150 licenses. Only those with a past pot conviction can apply right now. There's no exact date yet for when the sales will begin. New York's expected to become one of the country's biggest legal cannabis markets. When will it stop in Rochester, New York? A three-year-old child critically injured last night after a shooting on North Clinton Avenue. Rochester Police Chief David Smith says his prayers go out to the victim's family.
As a father of five myself, I cannot begin to imagine what they're experiencing right now at the hospital while their child is in surgery.
The little boy was struck by gunfire in his upper body while sitting in his car seat in a parked vehicle outside a grocery store. That child got caught in the crossfire of a shooting spree. Rochester Mayor Malik Evans.
We need to make it very uncomfortable for people in this community to carry illegal guns and, more importantly, to use them. We have seen too many shooting victims in this neighborhood. The community's sick of it. And as mayor, I'm tired of it.
Several suspects in custody. Pro-lifers coming to the aid of Pennsylvania gubernatorial candidate Doug Mastriano, who made headlines this week for a comment made 3 years ago. The GOP conservative told a radio talk show that women who get abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy should be prosecuted.
The fact is that no one in the pro-life movement really believes that that's the case. And the law in Pennsylvania pre-Roe versus Wade, we did not prosecute women. The issue is that abortionists are the real criminals here. And it's kind of like drugs. You go after the pushers, not the women who in many cases are being coerced into abortion.
Michael Gear with the Pennsylvania Family Institute. Doug Mastriano went public yesterday with a proposal to overhaul the state's more than $30 billion K-12 education system. That plan uses public school money to fund private education and homeschooling. Mastriano also wants to eliminate school property taxes. Pennsylvania's largest teachers union denouncing the proposal. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy will be in Syracuse this weekend. He's headlining a fundraiser at the Bellevue Country Club on Saturday for Republican congressional candidate Brandon Williams. The conservative military vet is facing off against Democrat Francis Canole for the right to represent New York's 22nd district. That includes Madison, Onondaga, and Oneida counties, as well as parts of Oswego County. After a shooting last weekend, a Pennsylvania amusement park has instituted new security measures.
Kennywood Park in western Pennsylvania has unveiled new security measures in the wake of a shooting in the park last weekend. According to park officials, they are doubling the number of law enforcement officers that will be present in the park. Additionally, new lights and security cameras are being installed along the park's perimeter. Guests 17 and under also must be accompanied by an adult 21 years or older to gain admittance to the park. Only small bags will be permitted into the park moving forward, and facial coverings will no longer be permitted after 6 p.m., with the exception of N95 or KN95 masks. The park plans to reopen this upcoming weekend at their regularly scheduled times. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brian. Pennsylvania registered its lowest number of new COVID cases this week than at any time since the first week of July. That's the good news. Here's the not-so-good news. The number of patients being hospitalized with COVID has actually increased for the first time in a month. For 8 straight weeks now, at least 100 Pennsylvanians have died from COVID every week. Even though the overall death toll is down, statewide the number of new cases down 20%, hospitalizations are up 6%. Former Heisman Trophy winner and NFL star Tim Tebow took part in a groundbreaking ceremony in northeastern Pennsylvania yesterday.
Tebow was in Luzerne County promoting his new Rising Light Ridge ministry. It offers developmentally and physically challenged individuals a chance to participate in activities they they never had the opportunity to do before. Rising Light Ridge is constructing a fully accessible 110-acre campus in Bear Creek Township. The project is being completed in several phases over the next 4 years and will accommodate a welcome center and clinic, worship and arts center, cabins, dining hall, equine center, and respite village. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Brandon. It's 14 past the hour. This is the Noon Report. To sports we go next. The wait is over for Aaron Judge. He hit home run number 61 last night to tie Roger Maris for the American League single season record. The Yanks went on to beat Toronto 8-3. Judge's homer landed in the Toronto bullpen where closer Jordan Romano was nice enough to let him have it. That ball worth some money now. A fan nearly caught it, but it dropped out of his glove at the last second. The Mets' Eduardo Escobar hit a walk-off RBI single in the bottom of the 10th. New York beats the Marlins to stay one game out in front of Atlanta for the National League East title. The Braves lost to the Nats in extra innings. Some drama in Atlanta as the Braves get set to host the Mets in a three-game series that could decide the NL East this weekend. Major League Baseball considering contingency plans because of Ian, which is expected to bring heavy rains to Georgia. Options include shifting Friday's game to a matinee or scheduling a split doubleheader on Sunday. The teams could also make up one or more games next Thursday, October 6th, the day after the regular season ends. The Philadelphia Phillies are barely hanging on to a wild card spot after a 4-2 loss to the Cubs in Chicago. Aaron Nola gave up all four runs on five hits over six innings. The Brewers won their game against the Cardinals and are now just a half game behind Philly for the last NL wild card spot. Football news, the defending AFC champion Cincinnati Bengals square off tonight against Miami, one of the few remaining undefeated teams. Dolphins quarterback Tua Tagovailoa suffering an ankle and back injury and is questionable to play. The NFL putting together a contingency plan in case Raymond James Stadium in Tampa isn't ready to host Sunday Night Football. The league announcing yesterday that the Kansas City Chiefs and Tampa Bay Buccaneers may play at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis because of Hurricane Ian. At the Family Life Sports Desk, I'm Bob Price. And still to come on the Noon Report, tracking Ian gets cold tonight and coffee connoisseurs rejoice.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. In the words of British missionary theologian Leslie Newbegin, the calling of Christians is, quote, to live in the kingdom of God in such a way that it provokes questions for which the gospel is the answer. Well, that certainly has implications for the work and the ministry and the mission of the Colson Center. The goal of Breakpoint is to help Christians think carefully about current events, not be thrown off guard by a swirling culture, and be able to have the clarity they need. But the truth is, commentary is really only helpful if it actually helps Christians live out their faith in every walk of life in this cultural moment. So we need biblical and cultural literacy so that our beliefs are orthodox. But we also need to be about orthopraxy, applying the answers of Scripture to the rigors of actual life. The Colson Fellows Program is a tool that is designed to help believers do just that. Over the course of 10 months, Colson Fellows meet in regional cohorts. They read through essential books on Christian worldview and culture. And they do all of this in communities that together imagine the possibilities of what God might do in their time and their place. And so many of the several thousand alumni of the Colson Fellows have stories that are worth highlighting. For example, Drew Johnson. For him, running a recruiting firm meant grappling with the biblical idea of work as a front and center concern of how he can integrate his faith in his daily life. He put it this way, quote, I deal with people and their careers all day in the recruiting industry. And so what he wants to do, as he continued, is, quote, to help clients see they're selling more than just their product and service. They're selling opportunities to work. If you don't recognize the goodness in that work, you can often elevate certain positions above others, kind of demote certain positions depending on how much they get paid or what they're doing every day. But the reality of it is, work is good. And then there's Sarah Took, who's a videographer out of Boone, North Carolina. For her, a powerful takeaway from her time in the Colson Fellows program is this idea of daily faithfulness.
Here's how Sarah put it, quote, where before the Colson Fellows program, it might have been easier to step back and not engage something I hadn't previously studied. I now have a framework from which to approach conversation and approach thought. I'm also challenged to engage because I have today. I'm called and created for today, saved for today, and I can be faithful as an agent of redemption today. Brian Eckley, a commercial airline pilot based out of Phoenix, was so impacted by his Colson Fellow cohort discussion about sexuality, he decided to host a series on the topic for his men's small group. As he put it, quote, what I found was that all of them had been impacted deeply by the subject, but did not know as Christians how to deal with it. Brian wanted his church to be a place where the truth of Scripture was put into practice that could create an atmosphere where people could combine biblical truth with love and compassion. There's so many more stories of Colson Fellows alumni that I could share. If you're interested in joining a Colson Fellows cohort near you, visit ColsonFellows.org. The Colson Fellows program is one of the ministries of the Colson Center. If the Colson Center has helped you gain clarity, confidence, and courage in your life, would you prayerfully consider giving a gift today to help support this work and help others benefit from it as well, supporting products and programs like the Colson Fellows? You can give at breakpoint.org/September. That's breakpoint.org/September. We look forward to hearing how God is using you in this cultural time and place. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. Today's Breakpoint was co-authored by Casey Leander. For more resources to live like a Christian in this cultural moment, go to ColsonCenter.org.
20 past the hour, Kevin Williams next.
Here is your Family Life weather forecast. Our call for this afternoon. The clearing trend continues as clouds dissipate and the temperatures hold cool in the 50s to near 60 for highs. Now for tonight, mainly clear and chilly. A few patches of light frost for some. Low temperatures 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, ample sunshine, especially in New York. A little duller in Pennsylvania, higher clouds there. But a nice day, high in the 60s. On Saturday, partly sunny in New York, but cloudy with a bit of rain in Pennsylvania. High temperatures mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, thank you very much, Kevin. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Lots happening this Thursday, the 29th of September. Millions have no power in storm-wrecked Florida today after Hurricane Ian roared ashore yesterday along the Gulf Coast as one of the top five hurricanes to ever strike that state. Governor Ron DeSantis.
The amount of water that's been rising and will likely continue to rise today, even as the storm is passing, is basically a 500-year flood event.
This woman escaped through the window of her home near Orlando.
You just get to a point where you can't go anymore. You have to, like, either swim or drown.
Ian is now a tropical storm as it moves northeast through the state. Correspondent Lauren Blanchard in Fort Myers, which took a direct hit yesterday.
Life-threatening storm surge turned roads into rivers and left homes underwater.
Ian is inundating the Daytona Beach area right now. Volusia County Emergency Manager Jim Judge.
Do not get out on the highways. You know, it's just absolutely critically dangerous. You get stuck out there. Hey, you're on your own. Really?
Ian may return to hurricane strength when it heads out over the open waters of the Atlantic Ocean before slamming into Georgia and the Carolinas. Other news today, the Kremlin will formally annex four regions of Ukraine tomorrow. That referendum vote described as a sham by the West. Correspondent Cammie McCormick has more on a U.S. aid package for Ukraine.
This latest $1 billion package includes more artillery, rocket launchers. These will take years to deliver. It also includes more armored vehicles and anti-drone radar systems, as well as counter-unmanned drones. The U.S. has provided Ukraine with nearly $17 billion in security assistance since January of 2021.
It is official now. 96-year-old Queen Elizabeth died from old age. Her death certificate released yesterday. Hundreds of royal fans visiting Windsor Castle today, where she's buried. It is reopened for the first time since the funeral. Couple of passings worth mentioning. We'll begin with veteran journalist Bill Plant.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No. And I'm not taking any more questions.
Bill Plant spent 50 years covering the news for CBS, former colleague Peter Mayer.
Bill Plant covered a history book's worth of news for CBS. Over his half-century career, he was on the scene for the Selma to Montgomery civil rights marches, the Vietnam War.
Bill Plant covered presidents from Ronald Reagan to Barack Obama. He was 84. A West Coast hip-hop star has died, the rapper known as Coolio.
as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Coolio won a Grammy for his 1995 mega hit Gangster's Paradise, which describes the hopelessness of poverty. Coolio was 59. For 61 years, 61 home runs has been the season high for a baseball player in the American League. And last night, Yankee slugger Aaron Judge tied Yankees legend Roger Maris for that record. Judge will go for home run number 62 tonight. It's 25 past the hour. This is the Noon Report.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Tracy Lynn. With us today, Dr. Douglas Groteis, professor of philosophy at Denver Seminary. We're living in a unique cultural moment. I've heard you say the riots of 2020 did not come out of nowhere.
Yes. Well, certainly the riots were triggered by the George Floyd incident, but there's a whole ideology behind the riots, and that is that America is systemically racist, that people of color don't have a fair chance, and we can't really reform the system. We have to overthrow it. We have to burn it down to the ground. So instead of wanting to, let's say, reform the police or work on problems of violence in wise ways, the idea is we need to take an essentially Marxist view of things and overturn everything. And in my book, I really argue against that. Marxism doesn't bring help to anyone. It's a philosophy of destruction and oppression. So really what we're seeing behind these riots of 2020 is something called critical race theory, and it's a form of cultural Marxism, or another name for that is neo-Marxism. So we have to go beyond the headlines, beyond the sound bites, beyond the video clips, and say, what is the animating philosophy behind all this destruction and resentment?
Well, what can we do now, Doug, as we consider America's racial history?
Well, I think we need to know what the facts are. We hear from a lot of people that America was originally racist based on slavery, that the Declaration and the Constitution are really shams because they're written by white males who own slaves. And I argue against that in my book. The Declaration has very high ideals. It was mostly written by Thomas Jefferson. Yes, he owned slaves, but he was very conflicted about it. And it's possible to write better than you live. So the Constitution has to live up to the Declaration. And there's something in the Constitution that says that workers in the South, they really meant slaves, were only worth 3/5 of a person for representation in Congress. And a lot of people say, oh, our documents are just atrocious because the Constitution only gives blacks 3/5 the right of a human being. And that's not right, because what happened was this was a compromise between the northern states and the southern states because they needed to get a constitution. Otherwise, it would have been two nations, one slave and one free. And this was actually something done by the North to limit the voting power of the South. Instead of giving the slaves one full person of representation, which would have increased the southern states' representation, it only gave them 3/5. So it was really a way for the North to help constrain the voting power of the South. And eventually, as we know, the Constitution proved to be a ticking time bomb against slavery.
Wow. One of the things that we're hearing about in hiring practices is quotas regarding equity, inclusion, and diversity. So how does that line up against God's word?
Well, how can you be against those three things, right?
Right. They sound so great.
I think what's more biblical is let people get equal opportunities and use their abilities to advance as far as they possibly can without any negative discrimination. When you set up quotas, especially when these quotas are mandated by the civil government, it is very artificial, and it can also produce resentment. People can say, well, is that person there for talent, skill? Is that person there because they had to fill a quota? So I don't think the quota system is an appropriate or helpful way for anybody, whatever their color may be.
Absolutely. We've talked about Marxism. What would you say to folks who seek to tear down our U.S. system and founding ideals?
Well, I'd say make sure you know what you're doing. Understand that Marxism was responsible for as many as 100 million deaths in the 20th century in the USSR, in China, in Cambodia, and elsewhere. It is a repressive, totalitarian system. And even if critical race theory is Marxism light, so to speak, it shares all of its defects. It shares its view that you need to pit one group against the other. It shares the view that you have to destroy the present system one way or the other. And then they say also, don't sell America short. America has been a self-reforming nation. And it has been a very free, very prosperous nation. And we have been able to correct many of the wrongs that came with our country. So, you know, there's a reason. Back in 1989, there's something called the Tiananmen Square revolt in China where students tried to protest for freedom. And they decked out American flags and they created a Statue of Liberty of their own. You know, they weren't flying the Chinese flag. They weren't flying the Cuban flag. They were flying the American flag. And there's a reason for that, because we're a nation of high ideals, great attainments, and great sins. But the sins can be corrected within the way the system works. The idea of burning it down, figuratively or literally, is a very bad idea for everybody.
That's philosophy professor and author Dr. Douglas Grotius. I'm Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you very much, Tracy. The name of the program, Faith Under Fire, comes your way Thursdays during the Noon Report or online anytime at familylife.org.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. A cool air mass will stay in place for the next several days, but drier air clearing the skies today will set us up for a sunnier day tomorrow. Of course, we'll keep our eyes on Ian. The remnants of Ian are expected to come north and bring increasing clouds over the weekend and probably a little rain on Saturday across parts of Pennsylvania. Our call for this afternoon, though, the clearing trend continues. Skies where they're not becoming sunny will do so as clouds dissipate and the temperatures hold cool in the 50s to near 60 for highs. Now for tonight, mainly clear and chilly, a few patches of light frost for some, low temperatures 30s and low 40s. Tomorrow, ample sunshine, especially in New York, a little duller in Pennsylvania, higher clouds there, but a nice day, high in the 60s. On Saturday, partly sunny in New York, but cloudy with a bit of rain in Pennsylvania. High temperatures mid-50s to the middle 60s.
All right, Kevin, thank you very much. And finally from us at noon today, it's National Coffee Day, don't you know? A day we celebrate on a regular basis around here in the newsroom. It's the go-behinder show. Coffee is one of the oldest beverages on the planet, folks, and second only to tea in terms of popularity, if you don't count water. The drink coffee allegedly traces its roots back to an Ethiopian goat herder in the 15th century. That's some good trivia right there. Today, coffee is a $45 billion a year industry in the U.S. A number of coffee creators like Tim Hortons and Dunkin' are offering discounts on the drink today. 66% of Americans consume coffee on a daily basis. The National Coffee Association says nationwide coffee consumption is at a two-decade high right now. The coffee business doing very well. Per capita, no country drinks more coffee than does Finland. The Finns have it when it comes to coffee. Who'd have thunk? And that's the world we live in, Thursday, the 29th of September. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.